The emotions of the human spirit can run gamut, just run the gamut of everything. The emotions involved in this type of season, this is the only season, I believe, that people's hearts are touched all over the world in different ways. There is the excitement that fills the air, the sound of the season, holiday well-wishers from every walk of life, family, friends, and the ultimate gratification of this whole scenario, the whole celebration, is that Christ, the Son of God, was born in the earth, and that through Jesus Christ, life, light, and salvation was given to all men. We sing songs like Joy to the World. World to the world. The Bible says in John 3:16, so God loved, for God so loved the world. And when the birth of Christ occurred, the angels said joy. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. It is like when I hear that song, and then when I read Luke chapter 2 and reading on his birth and his entrance, I like to say his entrance into the three-dimensional. He entered the three-dimensional as a baby. He entered the three-dimensional as a baby. God did. See, the creator became the created. And when he came into this realm, he did it under disguise. He had to do it under disguise because a lot of people didn't recognize him, didn't understand it. A lot of people joked about him, and even kings couldn't fathom that a child would be born, and they would say he's the child that's born king. He didn't have to wait for somebody to leave a throne or die. He came into the three-dimensional realm already a king. And so when he came, God spoke to some wise men. And and contrary to what you may have seen on your Hallmark cards or your holograms, there wasn't three wise men. We say that so often, we think it was three. We use the terminology three because the Bible tells us what kind of gifts they were bringing. And they were mentioning threes. So our natural mind would just say, well, it must have been just three of them there. But let me say to you that when the king heard that a king was being born, the king was upset. Yes, and the Bible says, and the whole city was upset. Yes. Now, a whole city won't be upset over three men. No, they would not be upset. They would be upset if there was like 300. How would you feel if you were just opening your eyes and here come 300 wise people walking through your neighborhood and you know they're up to something? You just don't know. All you know is they're bearing gifts for somebody. And they see all of the gold and all of the jewelry and all of the, oh, they see all of the stuff. So the city got a little upset. So these 300 or so maybe are taking gifts to the child that's born king. So God used the disguise to enter into this three-dimensional realm. Disguised himself as a babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes, born of a virgin. Boy, that's strange. Isn't that a disguise? It was such a disguise that Joseph didn't even know it. Good God Almighty. Jesus came behind Joseph's back. Y'all got to understand and see this now. Jesus went into Mary behind Joseph's back. Had to tell him the news afterwards. Came in a disguise. Disguised as a baby. The creator becomes the created. And so we celebrate his entrance into this room. And he gave us life, light, and salvation. At that time, it was exactly what the world needed. The Bible says that in the fullness of time. What fullness of time? The world was in disarray. Everything was going wrong. We had crooked politicians, crooked preachers, crooked government leaders. You had crooked people working in the temple. They were bringing up dirty offerings. They were ripping the people off. There was children being treated destitute. They treated children and women like dogs. So he came in the fullness of time. He came in a time where the world needed him. The world was being ruled by Romans. Bosses. In their mind, they controlled the world. The world was under their thumb. And everywhere they went, they made disciples. They were going to a small town and claim it for Rome. They would call that a Roman province. Now that we've taken your land, it's ours. And they actually taught the people how to speak Roman lingo. That's how the word make disciples came into force. Jesus borrowed that from the Romans. See, they don't know what they're doing. Let's do it right. So Jesus went out when he grew up and just grabbed 12. Said, if Rome can do it, I can do better. Rome thought they turned the world upside down. The Bible never says they did. But it does say the 12 disciples that Jesus trained turned the world upside down. Somebody say pancake. He flipped it like a pancake. Not only did he flip the world, he flipped the world system like a pancake. How would you feel if you were used to being on the top? And God flipped you on the bottom. Because you thought you were somebody. And then you look across the street and you see the people who were on the bottom. On the top. Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Some of you right now in this building don't even know that you've been on the bottom and God is about to flip you to the top. You don't even know it right now. You know why you don't know it? Because God has been disguising himself in your life. Yeah, he's been disguising himself. Some of the things that happen in your life, you don't even know it's God doing it. A lot of things happening in your life. Your life, just like we said this morning, he's going to turn it around. I love you. It's good to see you. He's flipping stuff around, turning stuff upside down. People who didn't think they were going to make it. Been through trial, been through tribulation, been through attacks in their body, been through physical attacks. But you can see God slowly flipping the pancake. You know what they say in the church. They say, I'm not what I want to be. But thank God. I'm not what I used to be. He's flipping you. Hallelujah. Somebody say, flip me, Jesus. Flip me, Jesus. Yes, sir. Flipping me. And so he came into a world that was in disarray. Everything was out of whack. The religious system was shot. Sound almost like it does today. Amen. When you read that, you see that he had purpose, but he came in the fullness of time in a world that was in desperate need of all three. But then, you know, as we observe this holiday season, we see the different looks on different faces. There is a contrast. There's not just a bunch of excitement. For this season also holds, for so many of us, times of sadness and sorrow. Amen. This time of the season. See, this is the only season that we celebrate that really brings a spirit with it. You know, you say Halloween got a spirit. They got plenty of spirits for Halloween. And they don't have to sneak up on you. You already know what they are. Just the sound of it. Listen to the sound of it. Trick or treat. What am I going to get? It's up to you to guess. I wouldn't want to put that on a child. Because some people are treating children, and some people are tricking them. Just like in the days when Jesus showed up, when they were treating children like dogs. The children today are not being led on a straight path. They're being deceived.
Amen.
Hallelujah. They're really being deceived. Amen. You listen to the conversation. I don't know how many of you listen to the conversation in the atmosphere, but I want to say to you that the conversation in our atmosphere is constantly changing. They're changing words. They're changing meanings. They're changing definitions to try to make what they're talking about fit their purposes. Yes. And so, you know, when I was coming up, they called it shacking. And they call it that. And that was a name. But Jesus, because he was flipping the world, he was flipping the world to his lingo, the way he sees it, the way God says it. God says, not shacking, fornication. Adultery. Perversion. Sin. That's what God calls it. And so a world that's used to having it their way, when he shows up, they get mad. Just like they do today. People get mad when you say Merry Christmas. Just because, and this is the world system now, a lot of people, they get upset, but they don't really understand why they're getting upset. They're just getting upset because the spirit that's on this planet moves them to be upset. We are all open to a spirit. A spirit can influence any one of us. We're not exempt from spiritual influence, be it good or negative. We're not exempt. You can be carrying yourself a certain way that it causes a spirit of evil to come to you. We open the door and he'll come to you. See? Listen to this. I'm not going to lose track. I know where I'm going. If you are in a spirit of agreement, you attract the spirit of Christ to you. They are attracted to you. When you're in a spirit of disagreement, you attract the spirit of disagreement, which is of the enemy. Makes it easier to disagree. And so whatever you're open to, you can attract. I'll say it again. Anything that you are open to in your spirit, there's an open door for it to come into your life. You can have a spirit of a giver, and the spirit of giving will come on you. But you understand that the spirit of giving has things attached to it. Amen. Just like negative spirits have things attached to them. Notice when we read the scriptures, when it tells you about bitterness, backbiting, envy, strife, they're all following one another. What the scriptures is trying to tell us is that when you incur one of those, it's not far behind where the other ones will come if you don't do something about the first one. They can come piggyback. You see? They'll come piggyback, but so will the blessing of the Lord. Cup running over. Shaking together. All this comes together. Flowing over. All of that follows. See, when you're giving. Now, when we understand that in this season that we're in, there is a time where people get sad. Yes. Seasonal. And it's understandable. Because a lot of people have things in their minds that have happened in the past, and it just happened to be around this area. The spirits are raised in this time of season. Spirits of excitement are raised. The post office itself, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, delivers 20 billion letters and packages just in that short span. From November to Christmas, there is an excitement. People get excited. People get happy being well-wishers, saying happy holiday, Merry Christmas. There is an atmosphere that's created that is not like any other, because there's joy in the atmosphere. Today we want to talk about the beauty of joy. Because when you incur sickness, say like this time of the year, if you lost a loved one, you're saddened by that. It's not necessarily the atmosphere, but it's just a past memory that during this time of the year, the celebrations were a little bit better, were at a little bit higher level because that person was here. When my mother was here, we were always there together. But that's in any mother, just about any mother's life, because mothers seem to be the bedrock of the family. And people are accustomed to going to mama's house. Even if they just go sit down and say, hey, mama, love you. Anything I can do for you, you got to go, though. But anything I can do for you, go. Just to have that. You see, there were many days when, as I was driving, I was headed to my mama's house. Mama was in heaven. I had to turn that car. Going downtown to drive, I look over like I'm going to my grandmother's house. But my grandmother's in heaven. I had to catch myself. I'm trying to tell you that the spirit and emotions run high this time of year. My wife and I, we still say, where you going? I'm going to my mama's house. I'm in heaven. You see? And so when you are downcast and downhearted in that area, God thinking so far in advance that there will be some things in this world that will bring us down. He knew it would be a situation that would come that we would have to be encouraged in. Turn to Luke chapter 2. I want to show you something that he mentions before we go back to Philippians. Knowing that this world needed something, he loved the world so much. Listen now, God loved the world so much that he was thinking of things in advance, what this world needed. Oh, glory. Listen. Look at it. Let's start in verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds standing out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them. And they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Now, he came into the sky, but an angel had to reveal him. But the angel said that God brings you a time of great joy. That time of great joy endures right now.
Amen.
It's still a time of great joy. In spite of the spirit of sadness, the spirit of sorrow, it may come. But God has given us great joy.
Amen.
Joy is a beautiful thing.
Amen.
Once you understand that joy overrides a lot of emotions,
Amen.
Which has a lot of us in bondage.
Amen.
You see, what your emotions can do, it can put you in a cage and lock the door, especially in this time of the season right here, if you allow it. There's nothing wrong with missing loved ones, but don't get trapped and put in a cage behind loved ones. See, here I am getting in a cage over my mama and they're in heaven. They probably in a cage over me down here. No such thing. No such thing. They are living the life. Not even think about us. See? But we sometimes get in bondage down here. Emotions are a strong thing. People take medication for emotions. Yeah. And medication has side effects. Plenty. So why are you emotionally unstable for December? You're going to also be unstable in January. Medication going to make sure of that. You might be messed up for 4 or 5 months. You see, because once you get emotionally trapped and snared like that, what can happen is it begins to play a mind game on you, and what you begin to do is make it a dependency. I'm depending on this feeling that I have. Sometimes we'll make people want to feel sorry for us because we want to show off that feeling so much. And you start talking to them, they'll say things like, well, you know, but baby, you're talking about, this is October. You still messed up from last year. The medication, it can mess you up. And when that medication gets you in that position, it brings on a spirit of depression. See, when we understand how these doors open, we're better equipped to handle these doors. So when depression comes, and it can shut you down. You know, I used to look at it and say, man, how do you fall into depression? It's simple. Get the wrong dependency.
Yes, sir.
Wow. You get the wrong dependency. If you start depending on your husband, depending on your wife, depending on your job, depending on all this temporal stuff, depression has an open door.
Yes, sir.
But depending on Christ.
Yes, right.
Depression can't come close to Christ. It dare not come close to Christ. Depression got better sense than that. And so these things can come on us. So this season can be pretty much a conflict for some of us. But because he's given us joy, I always wonder, why and does he tell us that the joy of the Lord is my strength?
Yes,
to let me know that it's not dependent on me. I'm dependent on him. And my dependence on him gives me joy. It gives me such great joy, as the angels just pronounced, that if I find out that I'm living on his joy, it becomes great in me because it's not mine. And anything God deposits is great. Great love, wherewith he loved us. Great joy. Great shall be the peace of them. Great, everything that comes from God is great. So we are experiencing great joy in times of great need. God knows more than anybody else. He'll send an angel and say, God sent you great joy. In the midst of all the turmoil that's going around in our neighborhood, God sends great joy. I don't care if the politicians are crooked. I don't care if the preachers are crooked. God sends great joy. We're in a season where joy seems to be the theme. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Good God from Zion. Great joy. So we need to know that God has given us a way out. He's not going to just let us be down here and go through stuff and suffer. Just because a season arouses our emotions, brings us sadness, sickness, and joy, all combined. We try to be joyful, but we got this monkey on our back. God said, no, I want you to know without a doubt that you got great joy. There's a lot of things that you can rejoice over. You can rejoice over a lot. You can rejoice over more than you can sorrow over. You can rejoice. And so, we read in Philippians that Paul writes to a place. He starts that Philippians by saying Paul and Timothy, Paul and Timotheus. I love the way that the Philippian book begins because it shows you a picture of Paul in his elder stage. He's an older man now. He has plenty of experience. He is now tagged or linked with a young man. That's a pretty picture of how the church ought to be run. Amen. There should be older men linking with young men. Amen. Because young men think they know the way, but old men already been there. So younger men, sometimes they need to take heart and say, there's some things I don't know. That's a hard thing to do.
Amen.
When you face yourself in the mirror and say to yourself, there's some things I don't know. Because every young man think he knows it all. Say amen.
Amen.
So when a young man says, I need some help in my life because I haven't been everywhere in my life. There's some experiences that younger men will never have, but are maybe on their way to having. But if they would just link up with an older man who's been there, man who has experience, and say, son, this is not right for you. And I know a lot of young guys, they don't want to hear older wisdom because they consider older wisdom to be the way you did it. They don't look at it as wisdom. They look at it as, that's the way it was when you were coming up. No, baby, ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed out here. It just moves a little bit faster. They just shrunk the tires a little bit. They ain't fat like they used to be. That's all. They change all the time. They double breast 1 year and then a single breast the next. Ain't nothing changed. Ain't nothing changed. All you got to do is hold on. Keep on living. And so some of the lessons that young men could learn at a young age will keep them from in carrying some problems in the future. Keep them from running in. See young people got to learn how to have discernment, especially Christians. You got to have discernment on the people you hang out with.
Amen.
See, you got to take time to say things like, you got to think to yourself. Ain't nothing wrong with talking to yourself. You say to yourself, is this person right for me to hang out with? I'm hanging out with folk. Let me check myself and see if this is who I'm supposed to be hanging out with. Oh, yeah, they got a car. Oh, yeah, they like nice things. But is it the person that God wants me to be out with? If it ain't nobody advancing your life and pushing you forward and encouraging you to be better than you are, you with the wrong friend. Oh, you hanging out with the wrong boys. Sure. Anybody can stop and smoke a little bit. Anybody can stop and drink a little bit. But somebody you need in your life to have, there's somebody that will say, step past that.
Yes, step past that.
You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stop at that stop.
Yes,
see, we need more younger men listening to older men. Yes, say, you don't have to stop there.
Yes,
keep going.
Yes,
and many young men have had their lives slowed down. The progress has slowed down. They are nowhere where they ought to be. In God's plan. And somebody will say, well, if it's God's plan, God know what he's doing. He got him where he want him. No, God give you a will.
That's right.
Don't put everything on God. Don't can't blame God for everything. Sometimes it's your will that overrides the will of God. God's will is that you walk upright, that you be blessed, that you be blameless, that you be an effectual individual, effectual human being in this life. He came to give light, life, and salvation. And neither of those three are designed to put you on hold at any place to keep you from being in God's will. None. And so Paul links up with young Timothy. I like the way Paul ministers to Timothy. The reason I like it is because Paul realizes that Timothy did not have a fatherly influence. He had a saved grandmother, and he had a saved mother, but not much is said about his daddy, which means he had an absentee father that wasn't of the persuasion that he and his mother and grandmother had. And so, y'all help me with this, Timothy might have had a little too much of his mother and grandmother's influence on his life. He might have been a little soft. Good God from Zion. Because he never had somebody to tell him how to run a football. He didn't have anybody to tell him how to get up when you get knocked down. He didn't have anybody to tell him, this is how you do when you go to work, or this is how you do when you wash your hands. This is what you do to be a clean human being. Never had a daddy to tell him that. But he had two women that taught him how to be dainty.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How to be godly.
Yes, sir.
How to live an upright life.
Yes.
But see, you can't just have that only.
Yes.
God created man and woman.
Yes, sir.
To raise parents, raise children, so the children can in turn become parents that do the same.
Yes, right.
It's called reproduction and replenishment. And so the world system that Jesus shows up in is not accustomed to all of this. They're accustomed to live any kind of way you want.
Yeah.
Be anything you want to be.
Yeah.
Do anything you want to do. It'll be all right.
There you go.
Jesus came to shake all of that.
That's right.
He brought life, light, and salvation. He brought life to a people that were already dead in sin.
Amen.
Brought light to a people who walked in darkness. Yeah. Brought salvation to a people who needed it. In order to move forward in God's purpose and plans. That's what the birth of Christ brings with it. It does not bring December 25th. It wasn't even on the calendar when he showed up. Wasn't no December 25th. The December 25th is just this Eastern calendar. This Western calendar. It has nothing to do with the Jewish calendar. Wasn't no snow when they were out there with the sheep. We got rid of the three wise men. Let's get rid of the cold and the snow.
Yes, sir.
Wasn't snowing. Wasn't cold. Yeah. Shaking your Christmas, huh? Yeah. And so he sends us great, 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 great joy.
Give
the whole world a system that fits the whole world. Paul and Timothy linked together. Old man and a young man. A writer by the name of Jowett puts it this way. He said, it is the union of springtime and autumn, enthusiasm and experience. Ooh-wee. Wow. Impulse and wisdom. See, young people, like, they move by impulse. Amen. They move by enthusiasm quicker than they do by experience.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. I was young, I know. See, I'm not just talking to young people. I'm talking at young people, at the young man that's in me. Because I did some of the things y'all did. See, and what I want to say to you is that without Christ, my direction probably wouldn't be worth enough. But I took wisdom from older men.
Amen.
It wasn't always good wisdom, as we learned in our men meeting. And it wasn't always good experience, was it, Tommy? It wasn't always good news, because when I was coming up, or other young men were coming up, some of our advice came from guys who just got out the block.
Yeah.
They just got out the house, out the big house, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were coming back and tell us young guys what life was all about. And they were just lying to us. You know, how can somebody just come out of jail and tell me how to live?
Yes, sir.
How can somebody just come out the big house and tell me how to walk straight? And they about to go back. So I was taking some bad news. I got some bad information, just like you guys, but just like it is told to me. When you get bad information mixed with good information, you got to learn how to eat the meat and spit out the bones.
There you go.
That's what you do. You learn how to handle your life. If you're watching your own life, you got to learn how to handle your life. Don't let anybody disrupt your life, mess your life up. A lot of young people get their life messed up because of somebody else. Being with somebody else. Hanging with somebody else. Get that someone else out your life. Get them people out the way. Paul begins with a greeting of blessing. And when he talks about this blessing, it's a blessing that comes from both God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's letting us know that both of them are in on it. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 3 of Philippians, Paul breaks out, and I never saw this until recently, Paul breaks out in a song. And when you think about it now, you got to remember, Paul is familiar with songs. I know you don't read it all the time, because Paul is a great teacher. He's anointed of God. He's a great leader. He's anointed of God. But Paul had an opportunity. Paul had been to Philippi before.
Okay.
He and Timothy had been there. But Paul had been there under different auspices. Because you remember in the book of Acts, it was Paul and Silas that were put in the Philippian jail. Mm-hmm. So Paul is writing back to a place that he was once imprisoned.
Yes.
And Paul is singing a song in verse 3. He's got great joy. If you can see it, you can hear it. Paul has great joy in verse 3. He breaks out in a song. And Paul, like I said, he was singing in the Philippian jail. He and Silas had to sing to get out. So they sung so loud, sung so strong that the gate opened up, that the bolts on the door broke off. They were praising God so tough that the brother that was in there with them didn't know how they got out. What in the world? And he was so fearful for his life because he would have been the guard that allowed him to escape. And the chief magistrate was already ready to have him killed. Paul had to holler at him. Don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry about it, bro. Hey, don't worry about it, bro. We all right. All is well.
All is well.
He was crying, I believe. Oh, Lord, they're going to kill me. They're going to kill me because they done got out. They're going to kill me. Paul said, hey, brother, don't worry about it. All is well. They sung. They sung their way out. If you ever get in trouble, can't you sing your way out? You need a song in the Lord. You need to have a favorite song, a song that God has given you. You open your mouth and it doesn't matter how things may be going. It don't matter how dark it may seem around you. If you learn how to just belt out that song in the midst of adversity, adversity can't stand that. Your enemy can't stand that. Now here you are supposed to be groveling, supposed to be crying, supposed to be falling down. Oh, woe is me. And you shun all of that and you break out in amazing grace. You start singing a song to the Lord in the midst of that. You're going through stuff, but I'm singing to the Lord. I'm praising God in the midst of it. I'm in a storm, but I got to praise God. I don't care where you've been, what you go through. There's got to be a song on the inside of you. Late in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul had a song. Had a song, hallelujah. Had a song. You got to have a song. Huh, mercy. In spite of everything, you got to have a song. You see? And we look at Paul and he's doing such a masterful job with Timothy because he considers Timothy to be his son. He brought him into the ministry. He called him my son. He brings him so close to him that Paul is very clear how he ministered to him. Tells him, Paul is well aware of his youth. And Paul, in another scripture, encourages him to let him know that there are older men who are going to be jealous of you. Simply because I raised you up. Simply because I trained in you. Because I'm putting what's in me in you. And if they hate me, as Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Paul probably related the same thing to Timothy. As they hated me, they're going to hate you. He said, but don't let them despise your youth. Don't let them get upset with you because you're so young and you preach this gospel good. Don't worry about it. And so Paul is in this letter to the Philippians. He's encouraging them, and he's letting them know that me and Timothy, we want to say something to you. We just want to encourage you, let you know that joy is what it's going to take for you to endure what you've been going through. This Philippian church, these people don't have a lot of money. They're not doing real well, but it's the joy of Paul's heart because they didn't hold back in spite of their lack.
Yes.
Paul fell in love with this church. Because they were able to support him. And even one time he told them, that's okay, that's all right. But they supported Paul. And so Paul was writing a letter to show his gratification. How much I love you. He says in verse 3 that I always have you in my remembrance. That's a song. That's his heart coming out on the scriptures. He said, I always have you in my heart. I always remember you. And I do it every time I pray. I keep you in my heart. I pray about you every time I think about you. How would you have to, like to have somebody like that, yeah. that they're so filled with joy yeah. that the mere mention of your name yeah. in their spirit yeah. prompts them to pray for you? Amen. Good God Almighty. You better talk to me now. Yeah. Somebody come to your mind, and instead of you wondering, I wonder how they're doing. Yeah. It doesn't happen like that. Yeah. Joy overcomes you because the Lord has put them in your heart. And what you do in turn is pray for them, and you pray for them with great joy. Why do you have great joy? You have great joy because you know God is going to hear your prayer, and you're filled with expectation that God's going to do for them what you're praying for. Huh? I know God's going to see it through. I know God's going to make it. That's why he's able to say that he who started going to be able to finish it. He's pouring himself out. He said, I do it. Every time I think about you, I keep you in my prayers. How many people do you keep in your prayers? I ain't talking about this time you pray for somebody, you don't pray for them no more. I'm talking about how many people do you keep in your prayers? How many friends that you hang out with but you never pray with or pray for? Do you keep them in your prayers? See, prayer is something. Once you learn the habit of prayer, you learn how to connect with heaven. That everything that comes out of your mouth goes Godward. And that every time you pray, all they hear in heaven are your prayers ringing through the halls of heaven. And the angels can go to the Father while you're praying and say, that's that one again, Lord. That's that girl again. That's that girl. That's Jackie. Send it in again. That's Robert. Send it in again. They bring it to his attention. Because your voice and your words are ringing in the halls of heaven. Paul said, I got great joy. Because Paul got revelation, see. Yeah. Paul knows what's going on.
Yes, he does.
See, Paul knows what's going on. He's sending names to heaven. He knows. You start reading some of these scriptures and you say, well, Paul was pretty much a loner. Until you start reading 1 and 2 Corinthians. And you find out how many lives Paul touched. How many friends Paul had. How many people he connected to. And he's had good words to say of just about every one of them, except a couple. He said good things about every one of them, except a couple of them. He said that one left me. One betrayed me. One loved the world so much that he left the gospel. But Paul brings it to the attention of all the saints that heaven is hearing me. He's hearing me what I'm saying. And so he has great joy knowing that he's praying for people that heaven hears their names being called. And he said, they're always in my heart. See, during this time of hoopla and celebration, festivities, joy, sadness, all of these things that's going on right now, there is a joy in knowing that I'm in Christ. That's the greatest joy. See, we look in awe of how God came to this earth in disguise. But we should have that same awe that God that came in disguise now lives in disguise in us. He's in you, acting like he's you, behaving. He's God, but he's behaving like he's you in the way that he would have you behave. I'm going to show you this. God wants your behavior on earth to be the same way your behavior is in heaven.
Amen.
Ephesians tells us that we have been seated with Christ in heavenly places right now. You say, Pastor, you're sitting right here, and you mean to tell me that you live in a life of duality? You got a dual existence? You're here, and yet you're in heaven? Yes, I am. Where do you think your immortal body is going to come from when you leave this earth? when your mortality drops off and you're supposed to be given a new body, where do you think it's going to come from? And all God is trying to get us to do is line up with our lifestyle in heaven and live it down here on earth till we get the new one. That will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Paul gives us a little sample of this. Listen to this. And I'm going to close because I know there's still a lot that a lot of you have to do. And I want you to do it with joy. Hallelujah. Woo, Lord have mercy. Now listen to this. He says, listen to this. The very first verse. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Listen now. You got to really get this. He says, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Sound like they're in two places. In Christ and in Philippi. Can you be in earth and in Christ? Can you be in earth and seated with Christ? Because it tells us in Colossians that all we do is in him. Where is him?
In heaven.
Seated by who?
The Father.
He's seated? We're seated. Good God Almighty. We're seated in heaven, in heavenly places. This is the great joy Paul is talking about. Paul could see it because Paul went through more than we'll ever go through. But because he can see himself seated with Christ, the suffering and the pain, Paul called it just a momentary thing. That's what Paul called it. He called this, I'm going through just a momentary affliction. How? How many of you have been through some stuff and you know it's momentary? When you were going through it, it bothered you. But then God brought you out on the other side. Momentary affliction. And I want to say to you, there's great joy because you know in your spirit that when I leave here, it's going to be nothing but better.
Amen.
Better. Yeah. Somebody say better.
Better.
God's going to turn it around.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody do this. God going to do what?
Turn around.
Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father God.